Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, producer, director, and author of The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, Herbie J. Pilato.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, pianist Clara Hoslop. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I like Christmas. I like this time of year. I like so many things about it, even the hustle and bustle. I like the religious aspects of it. I like the music. I've sung it for years. I like how I grew up with the traditions that I grew up with in relation to Christmas. I like the traditions that I have chosen to keep during this season. And so this is a special time, I believe, in for many reasons. And it's interesting, though, that over the past, maybe a couple decades or so, I have been looking around at others and this time, and I've thought, it feels like we've lost the meaning of Christmas. And so I have often wondered, what is the meaning of Christmas? I've asked people, what does Christmas mean to you? And of course, I'm very well aware that not everybody celebrates Christmas and that many different people celebrate many different things. And so I started to get interested in, what does this period mean to you? Or what is this season? Or what is the particular holiday that you celebrate? And all of that stuff. So that has been a wonderful journey. And learning about people and also supporting people in finding the deeper meaning for them. In these past couple years, however, especially even more this year, and especially right now, the question doesn't seem to be like, what is the meaning of Christmas or this season? Or this holiday that you celebrate. The question seems to be, what is the meaning of anything? And I'm excited about this show because it's something I like to talk about. And also because just in the name of the title of the book, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas by Herbie J. Pilato, I'm thinking that maybe there may be some secrets of Christmas that might help us find the secrets and the meaning of anything. Got emotional during that, Mark. And maybe you did too.
I just wanted to give you a little time. A moment of silence.
Thank you.
You know, oftentimes we don't align in terms of go into conversation about your monologues ahead of time because it keeps things fresh when I'm able to hear them along with everyone else. And tonight's certainly one of those occasions. I was actually reflecting before you got deeper into it how we take time, we meaning families, individuals, couples, people, to finally put down the noise and think about gift giving or the time that they're going to spend and where they're going to spend it and how they're going to spend it. Regardless of Christmas, Hanukkah, however they choose to celebrate. But if we did that every day of the year, there would be a whole different meaning to life.
Of the year indeed. Thank you, Mark. And so, with that, we're jumping in with our guest, who's a writer, producer, director, and author of many interesting books, and so many about nostalgia and about the past. And so very significant to have the conversation about this particular book, and probably the others will creep in, and so much more that he knows as well. The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas with author Herbie J. Pilato. Herbie J., welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much, Nicole and Mark, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, indeed.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, this is being recorded live on December 19th of 2022 as we're heading into right into Christmas. So how perfect. And Herbie, you and I had a very special conversation before the show, and actually the monologue resulted somewhat from that. So let's go. Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas is so Christmas is whatever you want Christmas to be, because really Christmas is about love. And I dedicate the book to love and however that love is experienced in your life. You know, I believe God comes to us as we believe God to be, you know. I'm Catholic, I'm Christian, that's my experience of God in this world. You know, if you're Jewish, or if you happen to be Hindu, or whatever, as long as you, at some point in your life, experience love, you experience God. And we all come to God through different points and different perspectives. There's no right or wrong way to love God, except to love God.
So love. Well,
love.
Before we get deeper into love, as I'm looking through the books that you've written, actually the things that you've been involved in, and I mentioned nostalgia. It's so much more, though. Mary Tyler Moore and The $6 Million Man, and the list goes on and on. The Kung Fu book, even, and The Bewitched. You know, if we had things that were so much better, shows that were so much better, feelings that were so much better, we might not call it nostalgia. We might not be looking back. You might not even take the time to go back and say, oh, there was a time when there was this, except you are a historian and you might write about that. But in looking back, and then even with this book, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, if we had those secrets already and they weren't a secret and we've added to them since and we've done more, then we wouldn't have to look back. So why are we looking back, or why do you look back?
I guess it's not so much the nostalgia or looking back. We're looking for simple.
Mm.
We're looking for less complicated. You know, and it just so happens that sometimes we see the past as less complicated. But in many ways, I guess, too, it wasn't, you know. I think it's more complicated, if anything, today because of the communication, you know, the constant communication. So we're looking for a simpler way. And the past seems to hold that for some reason. Whether it's in perspective, you know, in retrospective, it's everything that we need to survive or to be content is already within us. We just have to stop the noise. We have to stop the screaming, the yelling, the competing, the dividing, and when we look back into the past, we tend not to remember that we were all of those things before too. Certainly in the 60s, we were just as divided as we are today, but it looks different when we look back. So I think we try to recall the memory of simplicity, and we call it nostalgia. But we're just looking for a simpler, nicer way. And we can find it now. We can have it right now. I'm very, very, very conscious of the way I live. And I am in no way perfect. Trust me. I swear, I get angry. You know, I get upset. I cry. I get jealous. I get very resentful at times. But every day I try to correct it. I say, okay, I'm going to do better today. I'm going to cut somebody some slack. I want someone to cut me some slack. I mean, it's all about kindness.
These are big words here. They're short words, some of them, like love, but simplicity, kindness. And then you mentioned another one while we were talking, humility.
Yes.
These are big words, and people don't use some of these words.
No. Because they think, we all think, we have to impress each other. You know, so we got to come up with fancy words or fancy concepts. And it's not that complicated. It's simple. Just, I mean, you know, you're flipping through, you know, various channels. And I say this all the time. And you see all these dark and dingy images on some of the newer shows and the violence and the vulgarity. And then we stop at Bewitched. Or we stop at That Girl, because it, oh man, there's a sweeter time. Look at Don Hollinger, played by Ted Bessel, and Marlo Thomas on That Girl. They loved each other. You know, they were, they didn't care about hopping in bed every night. You know, the time wouldn't allow it in the 1960s for them as TV characters to do that. So they had to be longingly dedicated to each other and respect each other from a distance without taking that final step. So that was cute and that was charming. And charm, that's the other word. It's charm is missing from entertainment. And charm is missing from our lives because we're so hungry for money. Gotta get the money. Gotta get the money. Let's get the money. Get the money. And trust me, again, nobody loves nice things more than me. I am very much aware of the importance of money. But when you place everything else below it, you're going to have trouble. And that's what we got. We are a money-hungry world, and we have lost the importance of simplicity, cherishing the simple treasures of life.
And you know, Herbie J, you're inspiring some deeper thinking, of course. But the thing that came through for me is this idea that individually we are all trying to get back to where we started.
Yeah.
As babies, as children, we're charming, we're full of love, we're happy, we're humble, we're all of these things before we go out and chase and survive and all these other things. Ultimately, as you say, just wanting to get back to that simple place of where we were just being.
And that's because it's a broken world. We are born into this world perfect. I really believe that. We're these perfect little souls that come into these bodies full of love. And then, don't put your finger in that outlet because you're going to get electrocuted. You know, oh, don't go over there because you might fall off the cliff. So now we're thrown into doubt and fear. But we don't know those things when we come here because we come here from heaven. And you know, it's like when a baby is born, the first thing, you know, the baby does is scream. It's like, oh man, why did I leave heaven for this? But we do come here for a reason, strangely, at least my belief is, and that is to love. That is the sole purpose, is to love, you know? And to find out more experience of love in this physical realm. My gosh, I didn't know where that was coming from, but that's in my study of various religions, and I have studied every major religion, you know, in these last 50 years extensively. And it's the common denominator has been love. So whether, this book, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, could easily be called The 12 Best Secrets of Hanukkah, you know, because it's about family. And my experience is everyone who has read the book thus far that I've spoken to has said, Herbie, this is my story. How could that be? And I'm like, well, that's because we're really not that different.
So speaking of Christmas, it's not always simple. It's not always kind. And we're not always humble. And there isn't always love. So this is a time where we get the best of those and potentially the worst of those as we're competing, as you mentioned, that for who gave the best gift or who did the best turkey or what have you, or the best decorations, or hers is not like mine, or he did that again this year. Right, Herbie?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I mean, when I was a kid, and I talk about this in the book, when I was a kid, my mother and father, you know, both had 10 brothers and sisters each, and every night was a party, and Christmas was just the best. Every holiday was the best, but Christmas was really the best. And I remember going shopping with my dear Aunt Rita, who was really my cousin, but she was my mother's age, and she was my mother's niece. We would go, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, which they then called Black Friday, which is now whatever it is today, I don't know. But it really was a special day of shopping. But we didn't go buy elaborate gifts. I'd go to the Five and Dime and buy 5 mugs for $1 and give each mug to an uncle, you know. We'd go to Woolworth and buy doilies and give, you know, a set of 10 doilies and give each to an aunt. I mean, we were so excited. We got maybe a $5 budget, and we made sure that we spread that $5 to everybody. You know, it was beautiful because it wasn't about the gift. It was about the gift giver. You know, you got to love the gift giver and not the gift, you know? And I just remember just being so excited, thinking, oh, I can't wait till my uncle opens that mug. And he, you know, they all loved it. They loved the fact that we took the time as little kids to buy them gifts. You know, I mean, again, simplicity. You don't get any more simple gift than a mug. Or we would go to McDonald's and get the $5 gift certificate book and then give 50 cents each. You know, because you buy the book for $5 and they were divided into 50 cent certificates. So sometimes we'd give each person a 50 cent certificate. It was the best.
Wow. Thank you for that. Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. It was the best. When we come back, Herbie J, I would love to talk about the season a little bit. This is Christmas for many of us. It's in winter, not for everybody, but it whatever season it is, there's a season. And so there are foods that go with that, especially if you grew up Italian-American like I know you did. There are foods that go with that. There are traditions that go with that. And there are TV shows that go with that. And you mentioned this in the book. And so when we come back, nowadays, all of that stuff is available year round. And I wonder, not the scarcity of it, but I wonder if maybe the saving it for that period of time, or when we're all together, let's hold off until then, or something, or let's do this in this season. I wonder if that makes it not only more special, but if it's something that maybe we need. I don't know. I'd like your opinion on that for when we come back. So we're obviously talking with Herbie J. Pilato, who's written many books. The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas is the one that we're focusing on today. You could go to, anywhere where books are sold to find his books. You go to HerbieJPilato.com and learn more about him and his books, and of course the book we're talking about. A little later on, we're going to have the Ask Dorothy segment, and then after that, our performance guest is pianist Clara Haslop, all in the Life Changes Show at Home edition, right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas. This is our episode 716 and the episode just before Christmas happens here in 2022. So we have our special guest, writer, producer, director, and author of The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, Herbie J. Pilato. Herbie J., I think it's really interesting that you're normally close to where we are, but you find yourself right in the place where all of this started, right?
Absolutely. I'm in Rochester, New York for the holidays, my hometown, which is where I have my experiences of Christmas in the 60s and 70s in which the book is based on.
And so one of the stories you share, this got me, was that the cartoons, like give us a, if you would, just a minute on that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I mean, A Charlie Brown Christmas and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. For me, Rudolph signaled the beginning of the Christmas season, because that first Friday night when it debuted in 1964 on NBC, my father was getting the direct decorations out from the cellar, the basement, for Christmas, just as Rudolph was. He was putting up these red bells. I'll never forget them. The red bells were put in the window, and they were jingle bells, and they played music, the song Jingle Bells. And from that moment on, Rudolph always signaled the beginning of the Christmas season. And what I really find upsetting in recent years is they out there are saying that Rudolph needs to be banned because it deals with bullying. I'm like, oh my gosh, stop it. I was bullied as a kid, and it was because of Rudolph that I identified with that bullying, and the experience that he experienced, I experienced as a kid in my reality. And I learned to deal with it because of the show. Mm. And to ban it is insane, because you cannot hide children from pain. And shows like that help them deal with it. You just can't have easy peasy shows that don't show bullying. You have to, if it's done in the right way. My gosh, I'm sorry, I went off on that tangent. But I just
go.
I just remembered how it's just ridiculous how they're trying to ban that show. There, you can learn from that show on how not to be a bully.
I hear you. And so, like I was mentioning before we went on the commercial break, what about us being able to watch, or children being able to watch, Rudolph any time of the year, or Charlie Brown any time of the year? How do you feel about that? Or having, like, we used to have turkey on Thanksgiving, for example, and then, you know, now we could have turkey, and some of us do, any time of the year kind of thing. So
Well, you know, it's funny. It used to bother me when the Christmas deck people would put Christmas decorations up, or the stores, department stores, would start decorating in August. And I used to post on social media, and I have a pretty strong following throughout Facebook and Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all that. I used to say, well, I buy my pumpkins in October, my turkeys in November, and my Christmas trees in December, because that's the way I roll. But then I don't resent it anymore when people experience Christmas in July, or they start putting up decorations. It's okay, because it isn't really the season. It's what we experience in the season, you know? And Christmas just reminds us of love. Christmas reminds us of compassion, which we have to have towards ourselves too, by the way, a lot. So it's just a big reminder every year that we have to do it every day.
So Herbie, am I hearing the secrets as you're putting them out here little by little? I've heard love, simplicity, kindness. We brought up humility. Now you're saying compassion. Are there any more you could share with us?
You know, it's funny. What we're talking about now is the core of the book, and it is how I end the book. So that the best secret is that Christmas lives in our hearts. You know, I use Rudolph. I use the experience of Mary's Gift Shop, which was a store from my childhood. Each chapter is a message, has a message, and each message is the secret of that chapter. 12 different memories of my childhood. It started out as 9. I wrote the book years ago and like dittoed copies, and dittoed meaning Xerox. Ditto was the phrase we used in school. Get the dittos, pass out the dittos. And I just made a copy for each member of my family. And then someone said, you know, this is really good, but you probably should make it the 12 best secrets of Christmas and not the 9. Because, you know, it just seems to resonate because of the 12 days of Christmas. I go, well, yeah, that's a great idea. And that's when it became the 12 best secrets of Christmas. But each chapter with a message, and each message the secret. But at the end, it's about that every day is Christmas and can be Christmas. Every day can be a treasured experience of love.
Why is that important, do you think?
I feel so sorry for people who don't believe in some kind of entity, universal entity of love, that we're all going to reconnect with ourselves. It's important because it's the very essence of who we are. We are loved. We are not the lottery ticket we buy that will give us $1 billion. We are not the TV shows that we love. We are not the Mercedes that we love so much. We are the love we experience when we get excited about that Mercedes. We are the love that we feel when we see that beautiful Christmas tree. But we're not that tree. We're that feeling that we experience when we see that tree. That's our soul. That is our soul. Our bodies are protecting that soul as we experience this world. But we are love. God is love. We are God in our hearts. The kingdom of God is inside of us, and that inside is love. It's not complicated. We make it complicated with the stuff that we have in this world, but it's not complicated. It's simple.
So, Herbie J., I know you're an award-winning writer, and you've written for a lot of big things that people do know about. And you consult with a lot of shows and stuff. So could a show like some of the ones we've mentioned be written today that would work?
Well, I do know that when a Charlie Brown Christmas is shown today to kids, now, not all, this is just some experiences that I've seen and heard of personally. Kids that are like, well, what's this? It's flat. It's slow. What's going on? You know, and it breaks my heart. It's like, oh God, please just watch this. Feel this love here. Here, sit down. But because you're going to get it. Because this is going to be, but you know, that moment where Linus comes on the stage and he goes, when Charlie Brown is like, well, somebody please tell me the meaning of what Christmas is all about. And then Linus is like, well, this is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And he tells the story of the Nativity. That, I don't know if they would allow that today, because for some reason it's a bad thing to show prayer. It's, for some reason, it's a bad thing to talk about love. And God forbid you have a happy ending on the show, on any show today. You can't have an happy ending.
Wow.
There's got to be some horrible, I've seen it. I tried to watch some of the new shows. And I'm like, oh, this is really great. This is going to be different. Well, they're really going to fall in love. Okay, so they fall in love. And then one of them dies at the end. Mm. They get struck down by a car or somebody stabs them. They couldn't let them just fall in love. So there's something wrong with that. I don't know what it is, but it's happening. There are no happy endings in shows today. Mm. So I don't think that a Charlie Brown Christmas should be remade, and maybe they will never ever make another Charlie Brown Christmas like it, that, or another special like that. But please, for the love of heaven, watch the originals. Experience the originals. They're out there.
So as we're bringing this to a close, a lot of people, we talked about this, you and I, before the show, are experiencing a hard time. And not everybody has family or has cultivated friendships that they want to spend time with, or who would want them for a holiday or a special time potentially, or just have no one because that's not their personality, whatever it is. Or everybody in their life passed, or financially, like they might have family, but they don't have the money. And I love how you said, you know, the mug or something. It's the love of the giver. I love that. Love that. You shared how you've been through times where you used it as a, or you came to realize that it was about humility, and that maybe we've needed that culturally or as a civilization.
Well, all of us experience hard times, you know. Some of us become bitter and resentful and isolate ourselves. That's not the lesson. The lesson is to rise above the hard times and to be forgiving of ourselves and others, and then to experience and embrace the joy of what we should be experiencing, and to say, oh, okay, so this bitterness thing, that's horrible, but I'm never going to let that happen again. And you do that by opening your life up. After Erie Street was over, after my mom, the 60s and 70s, and that experience of my beautiful family was over, and it did end, I created new Erie Streets wherever I was. You know, my mom lived in an apartment complex, and I moved next door to her, and there was a lot of lonely people in that complex. And one of the last Christmas Eves that I spent with my mom, we had the loneliest people in that complex over on Christmas Eve. As a matter of fact, I missed inviting one, and this woman happened to have lost her daughter. It's a horrible thing, losing a child. She lost her daughter, and she called me up, and she saw everybody coming over the house, and she heard that there was a party. And she called me up, and she said, Herbie, I'm all alone tonight. Can I? I think I'm going to cry, but can I come to your house for Christmas Eve? I said, you absolutely can. And I remember it was like kind of a makeshift party. So I went to the store and got ragu sauce, and that's from Rochester. Ragu is in Rochester, along with so many other wonderful industries. And got some pasta, made my own little oregano thing, recipe I put into the sauce. I went to the dollar store and bought, you know, 6, 7, 8 ornaments for however number of people that were there that night. A dollar. So I gave each person a dollar ornament. You would have thought I gave them $1 billion. They didn't care. They just thought, oh my God, thank you for this gift. They loved me, the gift giver, and not the gift.
Herbie, you know? J, wow, what a beautiful way to bring this to a close today. You took us to the spirit of Christmas with all your stories and stories. I want to add stories. Stories. Good stories are important. Thank you for sharing these good stories with us, Herbie J.
You're most welcome. I'm honored to do so. I'm honored to do so.
It's so special having you on the show. The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas by Herbie J. Pilato is the book we're talking about today, but there are so many books. I mean, and if you like glamour, and if you like Hollywood, old Hollywood and TV shows and all that, there's so much fun that he puts out. The Bob Newhart Show. I mean, so much. So you can experience all that. Go to Herbie J. Pilato. Herbie is H-E-R-B-I-E, by the way, the letter J, and then P-I-L-A-T-O.com.
Herbie. Yes, and please, too, you could also go to my author's page on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, where the books are all available there as well.
And there it is. Herbie, thank you so much. And a buon Natale to you.
Buon Natale. And happy holidays and Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. And God bless us all for however love comes to us this holiday season and every day.
God bless us all indeed. Ciao, Herbie. Thank you. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Claudia in Arizona, and I am grateful for the good advice you have given me in the past. And now I am asking you to share more of your wisdom with me. I have a brother who consistently says mean things to me about anything and everything I choose to do or say. I'm a good person with a big heart, and my friends are constantly telling me that I am wonderful. However, all my brother says are horrible things about me, and I don't believe they are true. How can I get him to stop being so mean, and so that I could how can I get him to stop being so mean to me, and to see me as I see me?
My dear Claudia, I believe you can find the answers you seek if you will dive deep into Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements. The agreements are, 1, be impeccable with your word. 2, don't take anything personally. 3, don't make assumptions. 4, always do your best. I'm so grateful to Don Miguel for sharing his wisdom with humanity. I discovered his book back in 1997 and worked diligently with it, and I believe it helped me grow spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. I believe that once you read the book, you can find some peace. You might want to choose to focus on the second agreement to assist you in dealing with your brother. Don't take anything personally. It is some of the best advice I ever received. And Claudia, I intuit that your brother is jealous of you, and this is why he is so negative with his comments. However, let's remember that we are the power in our world, and we can only change ourselves. Once you explore Don Miguel's views on this, I believe you can set yourself free from needing your brother to change. In addition to reading the book, you might also enjoy Filippo's great conversation with Don Miguel, and you can hear it in our archives. It is episode 105 at thelifechangesshow.com. And, dear Claudia, I lovingly suggest that you may want to set some healthier boundaries and remove yourself from constant opportunities for your brother to insult you. I see you rising above this and look forward to hearing of your progress.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Clara Haslup, here on The Life Changes Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at LifeChangesShow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
Life changes indeed. And now our performance guest on the Life Changes Show is concert pianist Clara Haslup. Welcome, Clara, to the show.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you on. And we, first of all, want to thank our mutual friend and colleague, Marina Manoukian, who introduced us to you through your father, Clayton Haslup. And I think it's interesting that we wanted you on the show no matter what, because we got to see a performance of you that you had recently done on Facebook and posted, rather, and performances on YouTube. But for this particular show, interestingly enough, coincidentally, you had done an arrangement of a Christmas piece?
Is that correct? For my composition class in college, and I also compose, but I took a composition class and I had to do an arrangement of a folk song for one of my assignments, and I chose an old German Christmas song.
Now, were you familiar with this song beforehand?
No, I wasn't. I just asked, I asked my mother who's some of her family is German, and I asked her, I don't know folk song. I was really busy with finals and with a lot of drama at my school. So I asked her, can you please just help me find a folk song? And she found this German Christmas song, and I was glad I just, you know, chose what she found. And, I just made an arrangement out of it, but I thought for the show, I can also play a version where it is not as modern sounding. So mine is very modern and has some more jazz harmonies. And then the traditional version I play first.
It does. And I can't wait to share that in just a few minutes. But before we do, so you are a piano, is it concert piano major, or what is the actual major?
Piano performance major, although that isn't really, I'm not still sure what I want to do with my career. I have other things I do as well. However, that is my major in college right now.
Well, and so were you always interested in the piano?
Well, when I started getting interested when I was 9 years old, and then I started taking it seriously when I was 10 years old. So I started lessons when I was 10 years old.
So what do you think changed, because I remember a great conversation with your father who was saying that him being a violinist and one of the top violinists, that he thought you might want to learn that. And I guess your mother plays piano and they thought you might want to learn that, but you didn't seem to show interest. And then all of a sudden you did. What do you think changed?
Well, I was getting bullied in school a lot when I was a kid, and I wanted to show the other kids that I'm good at something. And I thought, well, you know, I never was good at the violin because my arm would really hurt whenever I lifted the violin. It just would shake and hurt, and I just couldn't do it. And then I found out a few years ago that I have this condition where actually it's common for your arm not to be able to be held up for a long time. But so I thought, well, I want something to be good at. I'm not good at anything. When I was a kid, I had nothing. And then the piano, I just thought I'll try that. And then slowly after I was removed from the school where I was bullied, I still continued the piano and got a teacher. And then I realized how powerful music was. And I really became attached to my music in a much deeper level than just wanting to be the best, you know, so.
Clara, thank you for sharing that story. Wow, good on you. And I'm even more inspired by you. I was inspired by your music. I thought she's doing something different with the music. Do you feel you're doing something different? It sounds like you're putting something different in it, something new.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have kind of my unique interpretations where when I feel really drawn to a piece, I don't really listen to other recordings until I've played it. It's just because, you know, I often realize, like, I've done this with experience where a lot of some pianists, they listen to a recording and they think they have to play exactly like that other person in order to win a competition or whatever, you know. And my goal is not to win competitions, so I thought, well, I could experiment with this piece a little bit in my own way.
Wow. Well, it's interesting. Your goal is not to win competitions per se, but you have won many. So good on you. And now we're going to hear a piece. Tell us about it. We're going to hear the, which one are we going to hear first? Not the Christmas one. The other one.
Yes. And in terms of the competition thing, it wasn't clear. It's not that my goal is not to win competition.
Yeah, right. No, you were clear.
Yeah. It's just, that's my main goal is not competitions. Yeah.
Good on you. And thank you for clarifying that for those who might not have understood that. But I think we got it loud and clear. And that's, again, also very inspiring. So we're going to hear what first? Tell us about that.
Debussy, Prelude Book 2, Number 1, which is called a French word I cannot pronounce, brouillard, something. I don't know. I have no idea how to pronounce it.
Okay.
Means mist. And I think the piece is about fog. And it was really haunting and special to me because I'm writing a book right now. And it reminds me of a lot of the scenes and has inspired me in so many different ways. And I often come to the piece when I have a difficult day and it kind of takes me to a different place.
Well, here it is. This is a pre-record because it's very special that you too are home for the holiday and you just got here actually. So how perfect that all of these wonderful synchronicities have come together for us to be able to connect in this wonderful way and get to hear Clara Haslop's interpretation of this Debussy piece, which we cannot pronounce here on the Life Changer Show. Thank you for that, Clara. That was Clara Haslop, and she at the piano, and this was Debussy's, I'm going to try and pronounce it, Prelude Book 2, Number 1, Brouillards, Mists. Oh, it means mists, I guess. Thank you. You know, Clara, thanks to you, I learned something about Debussy as I knew the piece that you were going to play, and I listened to you play it, and I wanted to learn more because I didn't know Debussy in this way. I knew his more romantic music, shall we say. So thank you for helping expand my understanding of Debussy's music.
Oh, you're welcome. I think half the piece was not there, though, for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know what I don't know exactly what happened, but there's a lot more to the music.
You know, what we'll do is we'll leave this. If you'll have your father send it to us, we'll clip it in, and that way, when people get to listen to the archive, then they'll get to hear the whole piece.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was that the recording had a glitch or something. I had no idea what happened. I don't know if it was purposeful or not that some of it was left out. I was
No, we didn't mean to leave anything else. So sorry about that. We'll fix it.
Oh, okay.
So in the meantime, we've got more music to come. And before we do that, another piece that actually I'm not sure how to pronounce. This is going to be O Juslan Seuss, Sweet Baby Jesus, a melody by Bach. And this is the traditional arrangement that we're going to hear first, and then the arrangement by Clara Haslett. But before we get to hear that, Clara, do you, since we've been talking about Christmas and the holiday, and do you have a favorite Christmas or holiday memory you'd like to share? I have a feeling it might include cats, because I understand you love cats.
Well, I've had a lot of good Christmas days, so I don't exactly know what to say, but I enjoy spending time with my cats, though.
Wonderful. And do they enjoy, do they hang around the piano somehow when you're playing?
Well, I have, in New Jersey, I have two cats that meow a lot when I practice.
That's interesting. Really? Wow. They get into it in that way. Well, so with that, let's hear this. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the piece actually before we hear it, Clara?
Well, just that there's two versions. One of them, I don't know which one will be heard first, but one of them is the traditional sounding version, and another is the one that I arranged, which sounds a little more, I guess, jazzy.
Yep. I think it's the traditional we're going to hear first. So again, here is O Juslan Seuss, Sweet Baby Jesus, a melody by Bach, and the traditional version, and then arranged by Clara Haslop here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition. Thank you. What a great way to end this special show today. Clara, thank you so much for being with us. How can people learn more about you? Or will all of that be coming the more you are out there?
Yes, I think that will be coming the more longer I'm out there. I am going to be publishing a book in, I don't know how many years, but I'm working on it now. And I will have a proper website after a while. My website is still not at all where I want it to be. But yes, I hope to, when I have the time, change it and make it look a little better.
Well, Clara, when that happens, then please do share it with us so we could share it with our audience. In the meantime, thank you so much for being with us today during your school break and during this special time of the year. So all the best to you, and look forward to connecting with you someday soon and get to hear you live in person. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Clara Haslup. And also, once again, thank you to Herbie J. Pilato. That is our show, our Christmas holiday show this year on 2022. With that, on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.